The takeaway here is you got to protect your seed phrase. You can't have law enforcement with their body camera revealing it to the world.
Isn't this type of music usually illegal and somebody ends up behind bars? But now it seems to be like, you know, in the spotlight and no one cares.
I think the big win is going to be for the retailers. You know, we've already seen Steak and Shake talk about how their business has been accelerated through adopting Bitcoin.
I don't buy that narrative. I think people are going to see number go up and they're gonna be like, oh, maybe I'll buy more of the ETFs, or I'll just allow it to sort of appreciate as a portion of my portfolio.
You're talking like hundreds of billions of dollars, if not more, that are just gone, right, into cold storage. And that is crazy bullish.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As always, I have Tony and Mr. Greer Hall. Bird Flip is back on the show. Gents, let's jump right into the news. Okay, up first, I got a video to share with you.
I know, it would be on the normal state of Nevada badge.
Quick question, you have access to a database if somebody was in the state of
Nevada? So there's like steps too, I don't know what, siren?
Oh, this is that crypto shit. This is a crypto...
Okay.
Remember like, how
yeah.
I was telling you guys
yep.
random words?
Okay, okay.
So he might have a concern stuff.
Yeah, let me go in there.
All righty, so... The takeaway here is you got to protect your seed phrase. You can't have law enforcement with their body camera revealing it to the world. Hopefully this, whoever this is, got their Bitcoin moved before someone zoomed in, read the words and stole it. Tony, you are the seed phrase and Bitcoin security expert. What would your recommendation be to folks who maybe need to transport their seed phrase or carry their Bitcoin with them?
Man, this is a rookie mistake. It's a very, very unfortunate one that this guy had to stumble upon. I'm a police officer who was even, you know, more clumsy than he needed to be. I mean, why take it out, you know, and flash it all over the place and, you know, broadcast it on his webcam and what have you. I hope this guy didn't get his funds swiped, because, you know, anybody watching that video just needed to pause Zoom and, you know, with a bit of, you know, like fine-tuned graphic editing, couldn't have access to these words. I didn't follow up on the story, so I don't know if that happened or not. I pray it didn't. But don't ever carry your seed phrase with you like this. Like, in general, you know, that's not something you want to do. If you want to secure it, you secure it, first of all, not on paper. You secure it on steel or titanium. Or, you know, there's a million ways to get creative on where to future-proof that seed phrase and to hide it. And a piece of paper is absolutely not the way to go on about it, because as you saw, you know, something unexpected can happen at any point in time. And then, you know, one thing leads to another and it's a disaster in the making. So I'm sure this guy who wasn't expecting for a seed phrase to become public knowledge, but it is what it is. So yeah, big lesson here. Hide your seed phrase, secure it well. Do not carry it with you at all.
Yeah, I would encourage people, if you do need to transport your seed phrase in some way, this is not the way to do it for obvious reasons. And this is generational wealth we're talking about. You don't want to expose yourself to these sorts of unforeseen circumstances. Check out 21e15.com. Our friends sell a product called the Microseed. And so you can stamp your entire seed phrase on a nylon or titanium washer. So very easy to, you know, throw it on your keychain or what have you, if that's, and no one would ever probably notice that, but you still need to be aware that you've now stamped your seed phrase somewhere that you might be transporting. You can't lose your keys. You can't, you know, do anything that would maybe indicate that you are carrying that. Greer, do you have any follow-up comment on this?
No, I mean, not really. You guys said it, you know, Bitcoin, your seed phrase is your life force. You know, you do not want to go nuclear. And, this is like the sum of all fears. You know, when I'm in the past, whenever I move my coins or seed, you know, it's like no cameras, no phone, no laptop, go into a clean room. You got to be like Dexter, you know, everything is, there are no witnesses. No one knows what you're doing. And then you got to bury that thing 6 feet deep. This is not something that you, just carry around.
Yeah, absolutely. All righty, Tony, you had a tweet in response. So the tweet from, I don't know how to say his last name, Thomas Farrer, another whale from 2011 just woke up and sold 14,000 Bitcoin. And you retweeted, imagine selling 14,000 BTC for $1.6 billion in paper trash. That's not cashing out. That's self-dilution with zero strategy. To me, this feels kind of fishy. We were talking about this offline. Like, who needs $1.6 billion all of a sudden? What's really going on here? Tony, I don't know if you have any sort of thesis on what's actually happening.
Yeah, that was precisely my reaction as well when I read this. I'm like, something very odd is going on, because, you know, why would you all of a sudden, if you've been asleep on generational wealth since 2011, why would you all of a sudden sell it all in one go? First of all, it's a very dumb strategy. It's not the way you want to do it. And second of all, what are you selling it for? You know, if you want to look at this superficially, like I wrote, you're trading it in for worthless paper, like absolutely nothing useful. You've just diluted yourself from the, you know, a rare asset, like the world's only sound money, to nothing. And so it, you know, begs the question, why did it happen? Is this part of something else that's going on that perhaps, you know, later on, you know, will show up? But it's definitely like a spotlight event as far as I'm concerned. Logically, makes absolutely no sense. I've asked around people that do, you know, blockchain forensics and all that, and even they're a little confused as to the nature of this sale. So time will tell. But, you know, like you said, nobody needs $1.6 billion. If you're doing this for bragging right, in my opinion, it's a very dumb thing to do. But other than that, you know, like if you want to live well, of course, you know, that's everybody's free to do that, but you don't need 1.6 billion. You could do it with like 50 million, 60 million, and like save the rest. You don't have to go full out, you know, commando here and get rid of everything. So either this is a panicked move, or there is, you know, something, you know, mysterious and shady that hopefully will, you know, light will be shed on it at some point, because I'm really curious.
Yeah, I agree. The caveat, I guess, would be if you're someone who was just so early and you've got 100,000 Bitcoin, it's like, okay, 14,000, you still have a lot of Bitcoin left. But obviously, we have no clarity on that. So I'll be curious if more does come to light on this. Greer, do you have any thoughts on what you think might have happened?
I mean, you guys said it. It just feels like a major oof, you know. But there's more that we don't know. So I think wait and see. But I do like that, you know, Bitcoin only dipped a few thousand bucks. So I think the market is so big that even a ginormous amount like 14,000 Bitcoin doesn't really have an effect. You know, we used to drop quite a bit more not too long ago.
Yeah. It really is pretty amazing. Some of the sell pressure we've had, you know, like people have been shorting Bitcoin for a long time. We've got this sort of sell pressure that just pops up, and we're to the point as an asset class, so to speak, that we really don't feel the material effects of that the way that you might have, you know, just a few years ago. So pretty cool to see. Alrighty, guys, we've got Trump's digital asset report is completed, and it's going to be released July 30th. This is per Bo Hines. Be very interested. So Greer, you had some thoughts on this because there was a bit of movement in the Trump media with respect to Bitcoin. I'd be curious to hear if you think maybe they were signaling something.
Well, yeah, I think Trump, you know, he filled his bags and he's ready for full send. You know, they bought $2 billion worth of Bitcoin, you know, a couple days ago, and the report comes out, 10 days later after that purchase. You know, it reminds me of earlier in the spring when he said, now's a great time to buy stocks. And the next day he had a trade deal and, you know, just a huge increase in the market. So I think we are, you know, we're watching him tip his hat. Doesn't look to me like many people are paying attention to it. I don't think a lot is going to be exciting for Bitcoiners when this comes out. You know, I think the government's excited about stable coins. So I would imagine we're going to see a lot of that. Maybe there's some friends up at the top with David Sachs where certain blockchains are going to get preference over others. But the signal here is Bitcoin. That's what Trump wants. That's what everybody wants. You might as well get a little bit of it if you can.
So do you think there's going to be any indication, and this is a question, I guess, for both of you, any indication of the government maybe beginning to fill its strategic reserve? Because we found out a few weeks ago, it appears as though the strategic reserve is much lighter than previously imagined. So do you think there's going to be any signal for... It's interesting that Trump media went specific on Bitcoin with its buys because their World Liberty 5 project's kind of been all over the place. Is your suspicion that Bitcoin specifically, though, will be highlighted? I agree with you on the stable coins, but that
I think
maybe that bigger buys?
I think it could be. You know, if you remember, they said they weren't going to purchase Bitcoin in a way that affects the taxpayer. You know, it's going to be revenue neutral. And if you look at Trump's tariffs and trade deals, you know, we're seeing $100 billion come in a few months. And could that money that was, you know, coming in go into something like Bitcoin? And to me, that could be a strategic way to do it. I just don't know if they're going to, you know, we just have to wait and see. And I think if you're an optimist, you know, you want Bitcoin adoption, but it's a double-edged sword. Do you really want the government to have a lot of Bitcoin? And I would not be surprised if some of that tariff money goes into stacking subsets.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm a little less. I don't want the government to buy Bitcoin. I'm preparing myself to be unsurprised that the government's not going to buy a bunch of Bitcoin, even in a, you know, revenue or a budget neutral way. Tony, you offline, you seem surprised that that the government, that insider trading might be a thing in U.S. politics.
Yeah, man, isn't this type of news usually illegal and somebody ends up behind bars? But now it seems to be like, you know, in the spotlight and no one cares. So I don't know, man. Maybe your judicial system is going to be rewritten somehow or modified to convenience certain people. But you know what would be hilarious? If that report comes out and Bitcoin's nowhere to be seen on it, that'll be funny, because a lot of folks are going to get seriously pissed. And at that point, it is really going to beg into question, you know, what is really going on, and which will come circle back to what we were saying, that it doesn't really matter. Those people that are cheering this on are probably folks that have a lot of Bitcoin from a long time ago and are just sitting on it waiting for a politician to pump their bags. These guys don't care about Bitcoin. Whether it's Bitcoin, dollars, or donuts, you know, it doesn't matter. They just want to be rich. So they're not part of the revolution. They don't understand, you know, the ethos of Bitcoin and freedom and all that. They don't care about this. So for me, it's not bullish if governments actually go through with this and start, you know, siphoning up their remaining supply. If you're someone still lingering on zero, wondering, you know, whether Bitcoin is for you, and you're not doing anything about it, you are going to miss the boat. I'd rather have more people, you know, get their hands on it in full self-custody, of course, but if no one wants to act for whatever reason, that's on you. You will miss this opportunity of a lifetime. You will never, ever see it again. Once this remaining supply is siphoned up, these guys are not buying it to speculate or trade it. They are buying it to hold it and to build whatever financial empires they want over it. So that's when you're going to go to bed one day, wake up the next, and Bitcoin's price is going to be some stupid number. And at that point, if you think you couldn't afford it now, you are really not going to afford anything later on. So for those not paying attention, open your eyes. You know, the window has already been, it was very tight before. Now it's like just about to be shut down.
Yeah, folks, you've been warned. Alrighty, we've got Fidelity pushing for in-kind Bitcoin ETF redemptions. The SEC decision's likely October. So again, this has not been approved. And as I understand it, this is for institutions. But promising that perhaps this is maybe a segue into people who have adopted the ETFs and, you know, retirement funds or what have you, to eventually be able to do something useful for their freedom and accumulate some Bitcoin that way. Tony, I know you hate fiat products. You don't care about the ETFs, but it to me feels like a step in the right direction, even if, you know, wrapped in, you know, normal fiat bullshit.
Yeah, of course. No, this is huge news and huge bullish news. The ETFs themselves are complete garbage, but the fact now that they have in-kind redemptions, that can potentially open up a flood of outflows of Bitcoin, real Bitcoin, into self-custody. So all these theories about paper Bitcoin and whatever the case may be, those will start to shrink as more and more people, you know, withdraw, which is the only way to prove that paper Bitcoin exists, is just to take it out, you know, and hold it yourself. And eventually, when the numbers get big enough, you know, those that are, you know, faking it are going to collapse. And so for me, this is huge. Asia already did the in-kind redemptions, and I thought that was a smart move. I was wondering if the U.S. will ever do it. So the fact that the SEC is still mulling it over, for me, I'm not sure that they're actually going to approve it, because, you know, that's like almost like a death sentence. Because, you know, these people that are in ETFs are huge, huge bag holders, right? And so imagine if like only 10 or 15% of these guys clue in on what Bitcoin is and decide, all right, well, forget the ETF. I want to take it out and hold it myself. You're talking like hundreds of billions of dollars, if not more, that are just gone, right, this into cold storage. And that is crazy bullish for the appreciation of Bitcoin in a very, very short period of time.
Yeah, I'll be, I think this is like sort of a test of the ETFs. To me, it signals Fidelity is probably, or at least they're comfortable that they hold sufficient reserves of the Bitcoin that they're supposed to. And it's not, I think they're supposed to have that backing, but what, you know, supposed to doesn't necessarily mean, you know, doesn't necessarily translate in real life, even in highly regulated industries. We've got plenty of Enron sort of situations throughout our lifetimes to recognize that. I imagine they wouldn't anticipate like a bank run, you know, tons and tons of in-kind redemptions happening right away. And so they might be able to kind of have a, you know, fractional reserve sort of approach if they wanted and still be able to, you know, make people whole as they request actual Bitcoin. But to me, it's a signal that Fidelity is at least on the right path with this. And I'd be curious to see if BlackRock and some of the others, BlackRock in particular, obviously is the largest, if they follow suit or not.
They'll be forced to.
Yeah, you would hope that the competition would force it upon you. But I think a lot of people, and Greer, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. I think a lot of people are too bullish on, well, once you get, you know, you sort of dip your toe into the ETFs, then you're going to get curious and learn about Bitcoin. Like, I don't buy that narrative. I think people are going to see number go up and they're gonna be like, oh, maybe I'll buy more of the ETFs, or I'll just allow it to sort of appreciate as a portion of my portfolio. I just don't think like that version of number go up brings people into self-custody Bitcoin. I think it's education, like this podcast, like the books that we've all read and recommend to people. So Greer, I'd be curious what you think the implications of this might be.
Yeah, I would say, you know, for the institutions, having Bitcoin in self-custody, I think in the future will be a big deal. I think it'll take some kind of event. It could be a war. It could be whatever. Some kind of event that's going to cause maybe it's counterparty risk. An institution to say, hey, we're going to put this on our own balance sheet. We're going to manage the keys. Once that happens, I think it will become more normalized and you'll see more companies do it. It could open them up for access to more capital. If they're able to prove that they control a certain number of Bitcoin in the future, that could be meaningful for their company or corporate growth. So I think at the end of the day, Bitcoin is self-custody for the regular person. Just think about it being exponentially more valuable for a company that's trying to create a profit. So I think it'll happen, but I don't think it'll happen overnight. I think it'll take some kind of event that will cause this to happen. And it could be just that there's access to new capital, you know, for anyone that can prove they hold their keys, proof of reserves or whatnot. So it'll be a slow march, but I mean, credit to Fidelity. You know, they were really early into Bitcoin. I think they started mining it. They've created their own wallet. I mean, back in 2008 or some, or 2012, 14. And they have an article that, you know, that projected Bitcoin going to $1 billion per coin. So I think that on the curve of, you know, being forward on Bitcoin, I would give them a lot of credit for what they've done historically. So I wouldn't say they're a bad actor. I would, you know, I think I bet they're looking at, you know, getting as much as many assets under management, you know, and charging the $1 billion fee per year. But I think over time, we'll see more companies embrace this.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I would be curious to hear anyone in the comments, anyone listening, what you think the implications of this are. And also, this is just my own personal curiosity, because I hear a lot of pushback on my belief that ETFs are not like the gateway drug into self-custody Bitcoin. A lot of people seem to think that they are. So I would be curious what our listeners would think about that. Alrighty, guys, we've got some exciting news on the medium of exchange front. So $50 billion payments giant Square just turned on Bitcoin Lightning payments for its first merchants. So 4 million sellers are about to accept BTC. Pete Rizzo says this is huge. I'm a medium of exchange guy. I think Bitcoin needs to be used as money. I think very exciting. I've been a little bit disappointed. I haven't followed Jack Dorsey closely on this stuff. I've been disappointed at how much I've heard him talk about it and how long it's taken. Like, it's felt very low priority. I empathize that he has a business to run. And today, you know, most people are just using fiat and everything. But, you know, as a guy who seems philosophically aligned with me on that, I've been surprised at how long it's taken. But still, good news. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, very happy about this news. Very bullish as well. I mean, yeah, it took some time, but, you know, better late than never. And now this is going to unlock, you know, Pandora's box. Now that the fact that, you know, so many merchants can do this much easier, Bitcoin's going to flow like water now as, you know, as the new cash through many different areas. And people are going to start, you know, getting used to it in the same way they got used to, you know, buying things, in-app purchases. You know, at first, when that first came out, that was like a big deal. But then now it becomes like you do it without thinking, right? An autopilot. So paying with Bitcoin now that it's everywhere you walk in, you know, you start to see, you know, cash, credit card, Bitcoin. You're going to start seeing that more often, which was going to subconsciously register that Bitcoin is money, which is exactly what it is. And the only way it remains decentralized and secure is if it's used as a medium of exchange. Otherwise, like I've said many times, there is no value if it's not decentralized and secure and used as money. So this wheel is going to start moving much faster now, and I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, this is, they've been talking about these, the de minimis tax exemptions in Congress of like $600, which is, you know, I mean, just a throwaway, who cares? But Tony, I know, like, just ignore them. I understand. I get all that. Some people do think about this sort of thing, though. I'll be curious to see if these sort of coincide, right? Like, we have now this, because it would, for people who are more conscious of that sort of thing, it would.
But why
open
would
up,
you be conscious of it? It's not. It's Bitcoin doesn't belong to the U.S. government, right? Bitcoin is money that exists outside the system. So what government has authority to tax it unless you're converting it back to their product, which is the dollar? But if you're paying natively Bitcoin to Bitcoin, where do they fit in?
I'm not arguing with you. That
no,
it makes
I understand. I'm just trying to make a point here. Like, yeah. if you're paying in a currency that is created to be outside the system, belongs to no one, by what authority, other than, like, you know, a tyrannical one, does a government put itself in the middle of this transaction? It has no business doing it. Like, yeah, what are you going to tax? It's not your money.
I think you answered that question, though, is that the tyrannical nature,
yes,
of
right, of right. And but you know what? That only works if enough people, you know, allow it to affect them. Like,
yes.
Bitcoin is peer-to-peer electronic cash, right? You don't need anybody's permission. And it's not, and I'm not saying this like to sound like somebody who's like encouraging outlaws and all that. You're not breaking any laws, because there are no laws that apply to this. It exists outside the current system completely. It has its own set of laws and rules. And those are the ones that need to be followed, not the legacy ones forced onto it. So this is something that a lot of people, I think, they still don't quite understand and believe that is possible. But it's true. That's what Bitcoin was made for, right? So, but that education, you know, needs to continuously be pushed out, and people need to, you know, get out of their own way and, you know, understand that the cage is open. You don't need anybody's permission or blessing. You don't need to be afraid of anybody. It's right there for you. Just take it.
I think that's well said. I'm going to request that our editor throw up an asterisk, not legal or tax, not financial.
Yeah, it's no financial advice. It's just common sense.
Greer, what do you think?
I think this is a huge win for mom and pop. You know, they're forced to use Visa, MasterCard, pay 3-7% transaction fees on every swipe. So, you know, this is a total FU to that system. So I think if you are a retailer and you can, and you have Square already, you know, and there are lots of places that do, this is great for you. I mean, you're immediately going to see savings on your bottom line. In addition, I think it's a win for the Lightning Network. You know, the more this is used, the more coins are locked into the Lightning Network. And today, you know, if you use Rails, which was developed by Amboss, you can earn fees based on the transactions that route through your node. So you do have to have some Bitcoin locked up in the Lightning Network. But if you have some Bitcoin that you want to put to use, this is a great way to do it. I mean, thinking about the opportunity of all these retailers coming online, this is a great way to use your Bitcoin and be part of the system. But I think the big win is going to be for the retailers. You know, we've already seen Steak and Shake talk about how their business has been accelerated through adopting Bitcoin. You know, that's just going to continue.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think so if you want yield on your Bitcoin, besides the freedom that it earns you, you know, maybe Lightning liquidity is an option. But be careful, make sure you know what you're doing. And I haven't done this yet, so I understand there are some complications during your own Lightning node. You know, there's balancing and all sorts of things that come into play. But totally agree with both of you. Bitcoin is outside of the system. Who cares? And also, this is exciting for both the Lightning network and I think Bitcoin adoption at large. Alrighty, gents, last news item for you. We're going to watch this video real quick of Trump and Powell.
Any questions?
Mr. President, does the issue give you any?
As a real estate developer, what would you do with a project manager who would be over budget?
Generally speaking, what would I do? I'd fire him.
Do you think this issue, Mr. President, gives you cause to do that?
Well, I'm here just really with the chairman. He's showing us around, showing us the work. And so I don't want to get that. I don't want to be personal. I just would like to see it get finished. And in many ways, it's too bad it started. But it did start. And it's been under construction for a long time. It's going to be a real long time because it looks like it's got a long way to go.
Yes, sir.
So,
Mr. President, are there things the chairman can say to you today that would make you back off some of the earlier criticism?
Well, I'd love him to lower interest rates. Other than that, what can I tell you?
All righty. So they were referring to, Greer, I think you had the numbers on this. I don't have them handy. The Federal Reserve Building has been under construction. We've been talking about, or we talked about that on the last banter, and it's gone way over budget. It's taken a long time. Just one big slap in the face to the taxpayers. But then at the end, of course, Trump has to get his shot in, much friendlier than he has been to Jerome about lowering interest rates. If you got the numbers, if you want to share those on the overages on the Federal Reserve construction project.
Yeah, I think Trump handed him a piece of paper and it had the total cost, which Trump included another building. And I think the total was $3.1 billion. And of course, what's been popularized is around $2.7 billion. So the project is huge. But for me, what was great is that Trump walks into a private institution, essentially crashing the party. You know, he's brought the loud music. He's brought all the people with pickup trucks. And, you know, the Fed feels like they're a private institution. Well, you're not anymore. You know, Trump is here and he's really going to criticize you until you melt away. So for me, this is like the second best thing he's done outside of freeing Ross is, you know, put Jerome in his place, put scrutiny on an institution that does not allow scrutiny. So, the heat's getting turned up on the Fed. Absolutely fantastic. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. You know, I think this is just great. Let Trump destroy whatever institution he wants to. And I think for anyone who's pro freedom, how can you not be happy with this?
Do you think Powell makes it through his term?
I think that's a tough call. I think he's pretty rigid. You know, I think we're seeing a campaign where they're socially trying to make Powell untenable. But you can see him. He's got his back up against the wall. And I think he's probably going to wait Trump out. I think that we're not going to force him out. I think he'll probably acquiesce under the pressure. And, perhaps I've seen people talk about a shadow Fed. Whether or not that occurs, I don't know. But I think that, Powell's kind of dug in like a tick.
Yeah. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, man, I completely agree with Greer. It's going to be a very interesting movie to watch. It's definitely bullish, on Bitcoin because, if the Fed is, completely shut down, then that's it. You're watching history unfold here. A lot of people are rooting for that. And if it actually comes down to it, well, that will probably be Trump's legacy. He's the one who finally shut down the money printer, and hopefully things move up from that point on. I personally still think we're headed to a world that's going to be split between Bitcoin and fiat money, specifically the dollar. You're going to have a part of us that are completely sovereign, working in a different parallel, and you've got to have another part of the world functioning no differently than they are now. But at some point, I think the tables will turn because, people are going to realize that the grass is greener, on the sovereign side, and, hyper-Bitcoinization, it's going to come in many ways and in many shapes. So maybe that kicks it off. Who knows? Very interesting times all the same.
I agree. I think it's going to be like an East Berlin, West Berlin kind of thing. Yeah. Where like people are looking over the fence and they're like, wait a second, what am I doing over here? Like,
something's not right here.
Yeah. I think that's like the game theory we talk about, right? Like that's how it's going to play out. People are going to be forced by pain into a better system, which will be uncomfortable for a bit, but hopefully ultimately a very beautiful thing. So gents, I think that's a good place to wrap. Thank you guys both for being here. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Hey Greer, why don't you give everyone a quick handoff and then stick around guys for a little bit about the Bitcoin way.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I'm Birdflip on X, and you can get my low OPSEC Bitcoin gear at shopbirdflip.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Guys, always a blast. Greer, we'll have you back again in another week or two, and look forward to that. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.